Happy New Year, everybody. A very happy 2017. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been a long time since I saw y'all. It was last year. A brand new year. Amen. With our God, we can look forward with great expectation of hope and good in our future. Amen. Our God has gone into the year ahead of us. He's come back and taken us by the hand to lead us into this promised land. In fact, the new covenant, God says that He'll make with us after Jesus died on the cross, the new covenant, not like the old covenant where God said, I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. The covenant of law, where if you do this, God will do this. But this is a new covenant. It's not dependent on man. It's totally dependent on God. And God says, I'll lead them, literally, right? I'll write on their hearts. Amen. Not lead by the hand, but lead from the heart. That's even more intimate. Praise the Lord. This year, the year 2017, God has great things in store for us. God works with numbers. God works with years. God works with days. He has special days in ancient Israel that serve as a visual aid for His people. You know, Jesus died exactly on a Passover. The first Passover was in Egypt when God ordained the death of the lamb and the blood is put on the doorposts and on the lintel, making the cross. And God says, when the angel of death goes through the land, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I will not allow the destroyer to enter your house. So that was a visual aid for Israel. And since then, they have been observing the Passover. They call it the Pesach every year until today. They observe it. But when Jesus came, the Son of God came, the one who fulfilled all the promises of old. When He came, He was the fulfillment of what the visual aid was pointing to. Jesus literally died on Passover and rose on the Feast of First Fruits. Amen. He was born on a feast day as well. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. And the Word dwelt there, the Word tabernacled, literally tabernacle among us. So Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. There are seven feasts of Israel. Okay? God, we ask ourselves, why do we have a theme for the year? Well, what is the significance? Well, the thing is this, people. Many a times, God gives us things ahead of time so that when it happens, we know it's God. Right? Number two, we thank God for all the good that we see Him do for us. We thank God for the deliverance. We find ourselves in a jam. We find ourselves in a difficulty. And then we were in danger and the Lord delivered us. Many of you have testimonies whereby, you know, the X-ray can even prove it. And then a few months down the road, the doctors tell you, this is a miracle. Then you thank God. You thank God for situations you find that you know you are under and then God brought you out of it. Then you thank God, right? Amen? Or that you were actually just seconds away from death even. And then God saved you from an accident or whatever it is. And you know it's God. And you say, praise God. Thank God for that. Wow, you know, we thank God for that. But what about those situations where God prevents that disaster from happening? Where God thwarts that attack? Where God blocks that disease from coming near you? Amen. Those moments we don't thank God because we don't even know we were protected. We don't even know that God delivered us. Amen. So when God gives us a theme for the year and you know the theme, so when it happens, you give God the praise. Amen. People say, well, after all, it's the year of, you know, and they'll say that. And God gets the glory. You understand? The theme also means that God is emphasizing that truth that year. There are different seasons in our life where God emphasizes certain truths. Amen. So the theme will tell us that this is the truth that God is emphasizing for this year 2017. Amen. Doesn't mean that it cannot be observed in any other year, but it's a truth that's emphasizing. Praise God. Don't expect God to speak everything in one particular Sunday. Amen. But maybe next Sunday, the Sunday to come. But this Sunday, this particular day, I'm going to share what God has for us this year. Amen. When I say for us, I mean those who have been following this ministry. Amen. Whether it's New Creation Church, Grace Revolution Church in Dallas, whether it is the churches that are following us and they look to me also as their pastor all over the world, in Europe, in Africa, in Korea, in Japan, in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, literally all over the world, we have testimonies of people following our teaching close. And they are very, very excited about the year as well. So I want you to know that God looks at churches, not just as a corporate whole, but also individually. So He has a call for this church. He has a call for that church to emphasize this, to emphasize that this year. But for us, this is our emphasis this year. Amen. God so loved the world, the Bible says. God loved the entire world. Amen. Not just Israel. But God chose Israel as again, like for us to identify. We can look at one nation and see how the nation is blessed, how well off the nation is, how prosperous the nation is when God is their Lord. So in other words, God chose Israel so that Israel can demonstrate to the nations what a good God God is. Amen? But instead, Israel failed in her mission. Amen. And God gave her the prophets. God gave her the law. God gave her the commandments. God gave her the covenants. And then God finally gave the world His Son. His Son came as a Jew. Amen. The Savior of the world. But Israel missed God and Israel rejected the Savior. But the beautiful thing about this whole thing is that God's love is everlasting. Even if you're not faithful, God is still faithful to you. Amen. Even if you're not good, God is good to you. Amen. And so God's covenant with Israel is not finished. Israel is now temporary, all right, set aside, not permanently, but temporary. It's like Israel is like a train, prophetic train going on a track. And then now, because of their rejection of Israel, of their Savior, of their Messiah, all right, they go on the siding, okay? Only for a while. And then God start dealing with the nations of the world, all right? Bringing out people, saving people out of nations. Amen. God is saving people. There's no such thing as a Christian nation anymore. They're only Christian people. Amen. So God is saving people out of nations of the world and forming both from Jew and Gentile. Gentile means non-Jew, one body of Christ. And this was a mystery hidden from the ages until Paul revealed them. God gave Paul the revelation. Are you all with me so far? All right. So during this time, God wanted, in the Old Testament, God wanted Israel to be the prophetic time clock. God wanted Israel to be an example. But Israel failed and God brought her into, led her into captivity. I know that a lot of people don't like to hear that, you know, but God's discipline. Amen. If you don't want to manifest my goodness, then you will manifest that I am a holy God, that I am a righteous God. Amen. So they were taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. You all read about him in the history books. And then Daniel, who was taken captive, had a vision. All right. One night he had a vision, okay, of a huge golden statue. And I've taught on that before. And how the whole world, the whole earth will be under this dominion of this Gentile. Gentile means non-Jews, okay? Gentile powers. Instead of Israel, with God theocracy, God ruling this nation to bless the earth, now it becomes transferred to the hands of the Gentiles, beginning with Babylon, King of Nebuchadnezzar. Then after Babylon, it'll be Medo-Persia. After Medo-Persia, it'll be Greece. And in fact, Daniel, who lived hundreds of years before Alexander the Great, saw Greece, saw the empire of the Greece. At that time, there were only hamlets and villages at the time of Daniel. But he saw that from there will come forth a conqueror, Alexander the Great. He even saw how Alexander died. He was cut off in the prime of his life. And we all know that Alexander, at the prime of his greatness, he was killed. He died. He died a very young man. Now, Daniel saw all this. Then the final one is the Romans. Not the final one, the second last one, Romans. After the Grecian, you know, his Alexander's empire was split into four among his four generals. And then later on after that came the Romans. And the Romans was a time when God sent His Son to Israel. Israel was under the tyrannical rule, all right, of the Roman Empire. Then God said this, from there after that, the Roman Empire went on, all right? But there will come forth a form of governments around the world made of clay and very brittle, and then a rock not cut with human hands. And Daniel saw all this in prophecy, will smash the leg of the golden statue, and all the kingdom, the times of the Gentiles will come to an end. And then Jesus is that rock. He will return to Israel and he will rule Israel. He came to offer the kingdom to Israel. Israel rejected him. With that rejection, the kingdom was held in abeyance. Imagine if they accepted Jesus 2,000 years ago. Israel would be in paradise on earth. The whole world would be blessed. Amen. But they rejected him. So 2,000 years, God dealt with the Gentiles to bring out a people for his church. Amen. So his now thing is the church. But he will revert back to Israel. And in fact, God is dealing with Israel even now. In modern times, we see Israel come back. After 2,000 years, they came back as a nation. Are you with me so far? All right? So here we are right now. Jesus will return, okay? And he will establish his kingdom on earth. It may happen tonight, may happen this week, may happen this year. It's a very, very prophetic year. In a while, you know, you will see what I mean. And Jesus will rule from Israel to bless the entire earth. There'll be no more sickness, no more disease, all right? The Bible says the wolf and the lamb, even the animal kingdom will change their nature, all right? The wolf and the lamb will lie down together. Children will play at the adders or the poisonous snakes' home or the holes. You know, they'll play nearby and there'll be no harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, God said. So it's amazing. We are looking for that day. It can happen anytime. And that will happen 7 years after the tribulation, but we'll be raptured before the 7 years of tribulation. So the rapture can happen anytime now. And the rapture, believers, is nothing more than you and I receiving a brand new body. A body that will never decay, never grow old, never feel bored, never feel tired, never die. Good deal. Amen. We won't be floating around like Casper the ghost. All right? We'll have brand new bodies. Amen. A body that will never grow old, a body that's forever strong, forever healthy, and never ever die. Forever, which is a long, long time. Can I have a good amen? So we're waiting for that to happen. That's what the rapture means. It just means that Jesus comes and the final piece of the puzzle, our inheritance, will be given to us, which is a brand new body. Jesus didn't die and rise from the dead to give us a spiritual body. All right, it's also a physical body. Amen. And that will happen in the rapture. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Praise God. So what's going to happen? Okay. We are now entering into 2017. Does God know about our Gregorian calendar? Yes, of course God does. But the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar, is actually this year is 5777. 5777. Very interesting. Three sevens are there. If you look at Revelation 13 verse 18, the Bible says of the Antichrist, God says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast is the number of a man. His number is 666. So there's a number of the Antichrist. When Goliath came against David, all right, the Bible says his spear was 600 shekels, heavy. All right, he had six pieces of armor. Amen. He was, and the final six was his cubits. And the thing is that 666 mocked Goliath. Everything that's of the devil, six is the number of men. But 666 is extreme of flesh, all right, possessed by the devil. So there'll be an antichrist. In fact, the 10 toes of the golden statue will be 10 nations. We do not know. Some say it's a European nation. Some say, no, it's more than 10, a revived Roman Empire. And from that, there'll come a leader who will promise false peace and prosperity to the nations. And he will have miracles happening in his hands, false signs and wonders that people will believe him. They believe that he's the final answer, the leader to unite all leaders, the person to unite all nations. And he's the Antichrist. And the Bible says Jesus will return, okay, to destroy this man who's going to lead people into satanic worship. So here we have the whole plan of God. Phew, free. Before you hear about the year. All right? So we're looking forward to the coming of our Lord. Amen. All the people said amen. Praise God. Now this year, 2017, something very prophetic. Are you ready for it? Yes. Dim the lights. Let's enter into the year. The year of Jubilee. Amen. 2017, the year of Jubilee. For you and me, for our family, for New Creation Church, for GRC, for all the churches around the world that follow this ministry, for all the pastors and leaders, God is declaring Jubilee for you. Amen. Look at this verse in Leviticus 25, verse 10. Drop down to verse 10. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Jubilee means freedom. Jubilee means every debt is canceled. Amen. Even every outstanding debt you don't have to pay, it's all canceled. All the lands that you have forfeited because you became poor or you need help, whatever, you sold off your land, all right? All the land will be restored back to its original possessors, its original owners. And the Bible says, you shall proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And each one of you shall return to his possession. And each one of you shall return to his family. You know, I've been preparing this whole theme, all right, for days now. But last night, only last night, I was still meditating on it. And the Lord spoke to me these words, all right? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Can you see that? Then not only that, each of you shall return to his possession. Maybe your possession is your health. You lost your health. You have lost your health. And you wish to get it back. You will return to your possession. Amen. Maybe you have a husband who is present physically in the family, but he's not present. How many know that? Oh, he's an absentee father. He's not around anymore. Whatever it is, he's always out there somewhere, you know. God says, each of you will return to your family. God will do something with family life. Amen. Each of you. I love that each of you. It's going to be a year of restoration as well, because that's what Jubilee is all about. Jubilee is the rest of all rests, is the great Sabbath of all Sabbaths. In fact, if you look at this passage, go back to verse 8, you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. You see, Israel operates by this number 7 a lot. In fact, God's favorite number, all right, in the Bible is 7. We have the 7 sevenths. There are 7 subjects, 7 sevenths in the book of Revelation alone. We have, if I can get it, 7 spirits of God, 7 churches, 7 angels, 7 trumpets, 7 vials, 7 doom, and 7 seals. In the book of Revelation alone, you know, we have 7 as a number of perfection, number of completeness. So every 7th day they are to rest. God tells them to rest. Amen. In fact, our bodies work on a 7-day cycle, 7-week cycle, 7-year cycle. Every 7 years, your body is no longer the same. Do you know that? In fact, if you're wise, you will know that the day is coming and how to enter into his rest so that God can renew your youth every 7 years. Doctors will tell you in a given illness and all that, many illness, the 7th day is very critical, as well as the 14th day and the 21st day. They're all called critical days. Our heart beats slower on the 7th day than any other day. So you better rest at least 1 day out of 7. Israel has to rest her land on the 7th year. God says, I'll bless you all the first 6 years. In fact, in the sixth year, I'll bless you so much that on the 7th year of rest, you don't have to harvest, you don't have to plant, you just let your land lie fallow. All right, rest you and your families. The whole year is a year of rest. You will eat the produce of the previous year. I'll bless you so much. But when the people of Israel saw that how much God blessed their land, they didn't keep the 7th year. They thought that 7th year, if we work and get more, we'll get richer. And in fact, the opposite happened. And now it's proven that if the land does not lie fallow for 1 year, all right, the land will not be as productive the following years. Okay? So God in his wisdom, God designed everything. God knows it. Even our bodies. Do you know your body? Your body technically is from the dust. It should rest. We got to observe this day of rest. Amen. Now, of course, Saturday is the Israeli Shabbat, their Sabbath. But if you're busy on Saturday, find one day where it's your day of rest, where you just vegetate, where you don't do anything, just plop yourself. And some of you are doing Sabbath every day. That is also wrong. Amen? And in fact, there was a time, you know, atheists who don't believe in God, they themselves observe 7-day week. They never stop to thank God for the 7-day week. Down through history, it's been 7-day week. God designed it to be so. Amen? But during the French Revolution, which is a revolution of like Voltaire, you know, people who don't believe in God, Voltaire says that after he dies, the Bible shall be no more. After he died, his house was changed into a Bible printing press, a Bible house for printing Bibles. It's God's will saying, you know, my words will last forever. Voltaire won't, but my words will. Yeah, okay, so during the French Revolution, they decided instead of 7-day week, why don't we can be more profitable if we have one in 10 days instead of one in seven, a day of rest. So trying to outsmart God, huh? The first ones to rebel were their donkeys. The donkeys refused to work. I'm referring to the animals. Number two were the cows. The cows refused to give milk. And all the animals that they had all refused to function and to give their produce, all right? And it goes to show that everything, even in nature, works on a 7-day, 7-year, 7 cycles. How many understand that? All right? So that's very interesting. And medical science tells us that every 7 years, our cells change, you know? Now, when the cells change, they are supposed to change for the better, isn't it? It's renewal, isn't it? But instead, it's like last time you have your videotape, you know, you play the first time, all right, you record, it's good, it's sharp. Second time you use it again, all right, it's not so sharp. Third time it's not so sharp. That's what's happening to mankind, and it's called aging. They start growing old. So God has secrets for you to stay young, all right? But I won't be sharing in this service, in services to come, amen? You never know when God is going to speak. Sometimes He will not reveal things to me. Sometimes I will say things that I'm stunned at what I said, all right? But it happens many a time in the following weeks. Amen. Because God is still focused on preparing you for the year. Amen. Praise God. In fact, many years ago, I prophesied in the... many of you were there. When I said all of a sudden to do my sermon, I stopped and I said that a financial crisis is going to happen. Then the following year, the Thai baht fell, Asian crisis, and then it toppled and all that kind of thing. And then the experts were telling us that our economy will recover in 3 years' time at that time. And then I was preaching again one Sunday, and I said, our economy, Singapore's economy will recover this time next year. Exactly that time next year, we recovered first. All right? But the experts were saying, I'm no financial expert. Amen? I just know God's voice when He speaks. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not a prophet. I'm just a servant of God who hears God. As I get the fresh bread from Him, I give it to you. But I can't force Him to give the bread on today. Everything. Amen? Nonetheless, people, get ready for a great year. Amen. All right? 5777. Like 666 is an evil number. 777 is a great number. Amen? Now, this is not numerology. All right, God is an excellent mathematician. God designed everything with numbers. He's an excellent mathematician. But this is not numerology. Numerology goes crazy, like you must book, when you book for the sitting in church, you book, must be the 7th row from now on. Must be the 7th seat. Amen? All right, don't get crazy over this, all right? You get a house on the 6th floor, you say, I don't want, 6 no good, you know? No, 666 no good, 6 okay. All right? All right, so don't get into all these tangents. This is not numerology. All right, this is scriptural numerics. God is a mathematician. He makes the hand to sit on its egg for 3 weeks. That's a multiple of 7. 7 times 3. Amen? The period of baby in the mother's womb, all right, to birth will be 280 days. That's a multiple of 7. Are you listening? Our musical note on a musical scale is 7 notes. Right? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Then you go back to the 8th one, do. Do is, the 8th one is actually going back to the first one. All right? All other pitches are variations of this. 7 colors in the rainbow. Amen. And God designed 7. The first time seven appears is very beautiful. Genesis 2, God, the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. So finish, ending the work. It started with the first mention of seventh. Seven is the number of perfection. Seven is the number of completion. Seven is the number of completion. All right, God's work is complete. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. You know, my son Justin, one time I remember I was doing something. He was watching a Bible animation, you know, show. And I heard this. It's on creation. And God rested on the seventh day because he was tired. So you got to check your children's what they're hearing. The thing is this, God did not rest because he was tired. God rested because his work was finished. And rest, the first mention of holiness is tied up with rest. It says this, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. This is the very first time the word holy appears in the Bible. True holiness is learning to rest in Christ and in the finished work. Amen. God made that day holy, set apart. That's the word sanctification, sanctify, or the word holy. They are all the same Hebrew word, kadosh. In the Greek, they're the same Hebrew word, Greek word, hagios. Okay? Because in it, God rested from all his work which God had made. So, seven is the number of completion, perfection. When Jesus hung on the cross, he spoke exactly seven words. Amen. Seven, the number of completion, perfection. The seventh time, the name of Noah was mentioned. It says this, by the way, five is the number of, hey, this church, amen, only a new creation. All right, five is the number of grace. Number one is number of unity. Number two is testimony. All right, number three is resurrection, amen. Number four is earth, four winds, four corners, earth, earthly number, four soils that Jesus talked about. And five is the number of grace. Okay, five number of grace, six is the number of men, seven number of perfection or completion. Amen. This year's 5777777. That's beautiful. And then it's 2017. 17, the Bible is a number of victory. Number of victory. When God called Joseph, he was 17 years old. Amen. 17, number of victory. Amen. In fact, there are many 17s in the Bible that point of victory. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples by the lakeside. You still remember that? And they toiled all night. They caught no fish. Then Jesus says, throw your net on the right side, boys. They didn't recognize it was him at first. They cast it and they caught so much fish now. Large fishes, the Bible says. And the Bible says that it's 153 fishes. Now, there are no insignificant details in the Bible. When the Bible mentioned numbers, it's for a illustration, a truth. 153. What does that mean, 153? Well, it's the number of victory. With Jesus, your produce will always be victory. With you, if you work hard, you achieve success. It might not have the 153 number stamp on it. 153, by the way, if you count 1 to 17, 17 number of victory. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way to 17. Guess what? You have 153. Okay? It's the number of God's victory for his people. Amen. In fact, in the Hebrew, there are no letters. Oh, no, so no numbers. There are only letters. Like for us, we have A, B, C from the alphabet. Then we have numbers. 1, 2, 3. For Israel, they only have Aleph, their letter Aleph, the first letter, which is number one as well. Beth, second letter, which is number two for them. So if they want to use number two, they put Beth. All right. Gimel, number three. Dalet, number four. Hey, you all know number five. Amen. Vav, number six. Zayin, number seven. Now, it's very interesting. Now, this year, 2017, in our Gregorian calendar is 2017, year of victory. 777, wow, a year of rest and completion. And then, it's the year of victory. Now, this is what got me. This is how God spoke to me about the theme of the year. And you all know that I've been true to this because I've been preaching on this for many, many years. In fact, I've been preaching on this since in the 90s. Amen? When my ministry commenced as a pastor, I talk about 1917 being the year Jerusalem was liberated. You must understand this, people, that Jesus himself said, because they rejected him, then he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. And he said this, amazing, the carpenter sitting on the Mount of Olives, delineating the signs of the end, talking even about Europe and all that, about the signs of the end. The son of the carpenter said, not one stone will be left unturned on the mountain. The son of the emperor of Rome, Titus, who became the emperor later on, he said to his men, don't overturn any, don't destroy the temple. Jesus said, not one stone be left. The Roman conqueror said, don't destroy the temple. Guess what? Every stone was unturned. Why? Because the men saw that the goal of the temple seeped into the in between the stones, so they toppled the stones to get at the goal. Today, you go to Israel, you'll find those huge stones at the bottom where the Romans threw it there. They are still there. All right? Jesus won. Amen. Whatever he says comes to pass. And Jesus said that Israel, the Jewish people, from then on, because of their rejection, it would happen 40 years after he died and rose from the dead. Amen. 40 years in AD 30. From 40 years, it's AD 70. What happened in AD 70? General Titus came in with his army, all right, conquered Jerusalem and took the Jews captives. And literally, they were scattered from then on to all the four corners of the earth. And Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem will be under the foot of Gentiles, non-Jews, until the times of the Gentiles, the vision of Daniel, be fulfilled. So when did it happen? 1967, Six-Day War. Jerusalem before that, even Israel came back in 1948, Jerusalem was divided into a no-man's land. All right, Israelis had control of the western part of Jerusalem, but the eastern part where you have the Temple Mount, all the biblical places that is mentioned, is under Jordanian rule. But after the Six-Day War, all Jerusalem came back under the hands of the Israelis. Jesus prophesied that this Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, will be under the rule of, under the trampling of Gentiles, non-Jews, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we are the generation that saw it. Okay? But what happened was this, church. In 1917, after 400 years, you see, since then, since Jesus died and rose from the dead, 40 years after that is one generation, God still gave chance to Israel to repent. All right? But Israel refused. They stoned Stephen, who was sent to preach the message. They stoned him. And finally, after 40 years, all right, God let the Roman general Titus come in and conquer it. So from AD 70 until 1967, 2,000 years, Israel has been under the feet of Gentiles, the Mamluks, the Ottoman Turks. Ottoman Turks had control for 400 years until 1917. What happened? 1917. Show them 1917. General Allenby enters Jerusalem. General Allenby is the commander of the British forces, and he was brought from young by his mother, who believed that God will use this boy one day. The mother came on telling him that God will use him. The mother is one of those that believe that God is not finished with Israel, that God has a plan and a purpose for Israel. Are you listening? Amen? In fact, when General Allenby, I have seen the black and white, like sepia photo of Allenby walking into the gates, one of the gates of Jerusalem, liberating Jerusalem without firing a shot. The Ottoman Turks, who had control of Jerusalem for 400 years, left without firing one shot. It's really supernatural. Allenby walked in. Why did he walk in? His horse was beside him, because when he rode, he came to the gate, he stepped down and told his men, my savior went into this gate. He went into the gate, all right, on a donkey. How can I ride in on a horse? So he stepped down and he walked in. All right, he walked in. Literally, that was the liberation of Israel. Exactly 1917, right, when he entered there, exactly 11 months into 1918. Okay, 1918, 11th of November, the armistice ending World War I was signed. It was signed on the 11th day of November. November is the 11th month. Exactly 11 months after General Allenby entered Jerusalem. God is saying, we are now the 11th hour generation. All those born after that is the 11th hour generation. All right? This earth is winding up. There will be a new heaven, new earth. Hallelujah. Okay, so when Allenby entered, Allenby actually issued a call for all the Jews, especially in Europe, to return to their homeland. In fact, when they observe Passover, everywhere around the world, they always say this as part of their custom, next year in Jerusalem. And yet, when the opportunity came in 1917, which was a Jubilee year, they didn't respond. Many of them didn't respond. Imagine if they had responded, there'd be no Holocaust for these European Jews. Am I right? But many of them were wealthy. They were rich. They were established. They didn't know that you know, to follow God's way of provision and God's way of being truly enriched is the best. Amen. So they stayed. So God waited for another 50 years. Am I right? 50 years. And by this time, it's 1967. What happened in 1967? 50 years from 17. The Six-Day War happened. Now, in the Six-Day War, what happened was this. Israel was literally surrounded by her enemies, north, south, and east. West is the sea, Mediterranean Sea. And the enemies literally said they're going to push Israel right into the sea. So they all gang up and they surrounded and laid siege on Israel. All right? Israel fought back. And it's not like 1 to 10, you know. It's not like 1 to 50. Literally, their planes, their armies and all that, their tanks, 1 to 100. 1 to 200. They were outnumbered. Yet, after 6 days, they won the war. And this time, they took over East Jerusalem, the scriptural part where the Temple Mount is and all that. For the first time after 2,000 years, Jerusalem is no more under the feet of the Gentile. Jesus prophesied this would happen. Okay, 2,000 years. So, 50 years from 1917, Jerusalem is restored. You got it? And then the Lord spoke to me, son, number 50 years from 67, you have 2017, which is this year. Something powerful, something good is going to happen. But when I say something good, please don't think that this year will be free from troubles, even your personal challenges and all that. Sometimes, you know, a good visual example would be 1967. Why was that war fought? All right? Because Israel was surrounded, hemmed in by her enemies. So perhaps, even right now, maybe some of you are already hemmed in by your condition, your physical condition. The doctors tell you after one is diagnosed, another one appears. And it seems like you are surrounded by sickness, or you are surrounded with family troubles, or you are surrounded with one difficulty after another. It's hemming in on you. It wants to crush you. So that's how it started. In fact, this hemming in, this attack happened in the year of Jubilee, 1967. We all see the victory, but do you see the difficulty? So I'm not saying there's no difficulty. In fact, if you are in one right now, get ready! Because when Israel fought, and Israel fought against the enemies, God helped them. All right? In 6 days, the war ended. On the 7th, Jerusalem was theirs after 2,000 years. Now, let me just tell you this. There's no parallel in war history except for one. And you've been hearing me share that also. Joshua and the walls of Jericho. Remember Joshua and the walls of Jericho? All right? God told them to surround the walls of Jericho for 7 days. All right? Blowing the trumpet. No one saying anything, just blowing the trumpet. On the 7th day, the walls fell after they shouted. All right? And God is repeating history in 1967. 6 day war. 7, it was death. Are you listening, people? Are you excited? So maybe your troubles right now, financial or family or your physical problem, whatever it is like a huge, formidable wall, like the walls of Jericho. How do you bring it down? Oh, Pastor, we just got to ram through. Yeah, you can use human effort, but God's way is better. God's way is blow the horn, blow the trumpet. The Jubilee is brought in by the blowing of the trumpet. You shall sound the trumpet of Jubilee. In fact, Yovel means Jubilee. Means trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet. Amen. The trumpet is freedom. So when I saw these dark clouds and all that, and I saw the trumpet and the hands being bound, and I told my artist to do it that way, all right, to do exactly what I saw in the spirit, at the blowing of the trumpet, Jesus expires at the cross, he gives up the ghost, the trumpet would sound. And that would happen when they kill the sin offering. Jubilee is on the 50th year, but which day is it? It's on the Day of Atonement. The moment the sin offering is offered, Jubilee sounded. So I saw that picture, so I wanted him to do the, when Jesus gives up the spirit, there must be the trumpet sound. And then the chains are set free. And I saw the feast become praise. to our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank Patrick and Hendra. They are really amazing guys. I told them the vision I had, what I see and all that, and they had to produce it within 2 days. All right? Just based on what I see. So it's been a very, very, very busy week for me, but exciting week. Amen? And God has more for us in store. Amen? Now, being set free from bondage on the year of Jubilee, every debt is canceled. Every slave is set free. Amen? But you might think, well, I'm not a slave, Pastor Prince. Well, when God had Jubilee in mind, He had more than just physical slaves. Many people are in bondage to medication. Many people are in bondage to drugs. Many people are in bondage to depression. They can't help feeling depressed. Many people are in bondage to fear. Many people are in bondage to unclean habits. Many people are in bondage. Even those who say, I'm a free thinker, they're not free to think. Their minds are not free. They think, you know, of lustful thoughts, you know, imaginations. They can't even stop themselves. They think of one thought and they're obsessed with that thought. That's called depression. Amen? Being you know, obsessed with a dark thought all the time that no one can get into you. It's like a fortress. You are lost in that thought. It's a bondage. Amen? But the Bible says, Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
Amen. Free indeed. So of all people, we believers are the freest.
Amen.
We are the freest.
Amen.
Galatians 5:1 talks about the true Jubilee. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. The freest people on earth are people whom Christ has redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. Some people think they are free, all right, but they're not free. And sometimes when this freedom happens to you, let me just tell you this first. And loved ones, please understand. Some people, when they are set free, they'll step out of their prison, the darkness of their prison, the muskiness of that room and the filth and all that, and they step in the sunlight. You know what they do? They turn back and go back into their darkness. Because freedom can be painful for some people when you are so accustomed to bondage. You do not know how freedom feels like. But God has freedom for you. God loves you enough. And we can shout at you, don't stay there. All right, there's a big world out here. No, no, you are comfortable in your darkness. It's possible to be comfortable in your darkness. It's possible to be comfortable in your bondage. But friend, step out. There's a new world out there. And God's world is bigger. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
So, how did they conquer Jericho? God says, no one talks. Just blow the trumpets. Go around the walls of Jericho. All right, the first day, second day, go around, blow the trumpet, 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 go around, blow the trumpet. On the seventh day, go around 7 times. Now we have 7 times 7. So when they blow the trumpet, God says, shout. And the people shouted and the walls fell flat. Friend, I have been there at the location of Jericho where you can still see the walls. The walls fell flat, literally. The walls fell flat, and Jericho today, you can still see the remnants of that wall. And there are burnt ash that you can, they have traced it, carbon dating and all that. They can trace it to the time of Joshua. And I want to tell you this. Your bondage won't come down by human intelligence. It's limited. Wonderful as it is, it's limited. It won't come by human effort. It's too weak for that bondage. It's too puny to fight against that obstacle. It will come by the almighty hand of God.
Amen.
El Shaddai, the God of heaven and earth. And all that God asks of you, I'm going to share with you 3 keys that God wants to put in your hand. 3 keys. Keys, not kiss. All right? My 3 kisses are only for my wife. Amen? Too many of you watch Korean dramas. That's why you all look. I'm going to give you 3 keys. All right, guys. 7 is the number of completion, number of perfection. When God mentioned Noah's name the 7th time, it says this. Noah was perfect in his generation. By the way, look at verse 8. Noah found grace. You know, that's the 5th time Noah's name is mentioned in the Bible. The 5th time Noah's name was mentioned, it says Noah found grace. because five is the number of grace. The sixth time is this genealogy of Noah. Number six. Number seven, Noah, seven times mentioned, was the just man, perfect. So seven is tied with perfection. Can you see that? What is the bondage we are in? It's not so much this physical thing. Don't forget, the jubilee that God talks about is a visual aid. Then, but you know something? Israel never observed their 7 year of rest for the land. And that's why when God brought them into captivity, all right, in Babylon, the reason given was that so that the land can rest. For you never let the land rest in all the years you are there. So 70 years you'll be in Babylon. 70 is multiple of seven. So every 7 year, the land will rest. All right? So that's mentioned in the Bible. Our bodies come from the dust. You don't. Your spirit, the real you, comes from the breath of God. You are not someone that came from the apes or the apex. That's how I pronounce it. A-P-E, ape. Okay. Anyway, you're not someone that came from... You are breathed by God. God Almighty breathed into you. Your body, however, came from the dust of the ground. Amen. So God says, let the land rest. Right? I think it's deeper than God caring just for the land. He's talking about your body. You must learn to take your rest. Or else, you know, you will rest. And people will come and visit you. And you will make up for all the rest days that you didn't rest. You will rest a long, long time. All right. Anyway, back to this again. Praise God. So 2017 is the year that we're going to see this happen. Praise God. The year of victory, a year of freedom. But Jesus, by the way, Israel never observed the 7 year of rest. There's no record in the Old Testament they ever did. They never observed the year of Jubilee. There's no record they ever did. Isn't it amazing? They finally, they lost track of when Jubilee was. A young man went home to his hometown, Nazareth. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue and they gave him the book of Isaiah, which is the parasha, the scripture reading of that Sabbath. He opened up the scroll and he read this. And who is this young man? 30 years old at the time? Jesus. And he read this. He was handed the book and he found the place where it was written, the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. What's the good news to the poor? If you are poor, what is the good news? Your debt is canceled. And God can cancel your debt supernaturally. I say God can cancel your debt supernaturally. Amen. I've seen people in our church that has their debts canceled, millions of dollars. Cancel supernaturally. Okay? God is not finished with that yet. God can still do it. Amen? Not you do it. Not that you say, I don't pay lah. It's canceled supernaturally. All right? This is the year of Jubilee, not the year of stupidity. Okay? All right. So, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look at this. Aren't you glad that he cares for the brokenhearted? If you are brokenhearted, the anointing is on him, the year of Jubilee, to heal your broken heart. No one knows the pain of a broken heart. Sometimes a broken heart is worse than you know, the other day I was on holidays with my family and you see my little finger here? It's bloodied, right? Yeah, in the middle of the night, I went to the restroom and then when I came back, I closed the door. My finger was there. It was wonderful. The feeling. You can't scream because your family is sleeping. So you jump on the bed. Oh! You know, it's like, oh man. But I'll tell you something. Something more painful than this is a broken heart. Because the heart broken is in the place you can't even touch. You can't even. But Jesus has come to heal the broken heart. He has come to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, proclaim liberty. This is a passage from Isaiah 61. If you go to Isaiah 61, the Hebrew words for proclaim liberty is exactly the same for Jubilee. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen. Proclaim liberty to the captive. So whether you're bound by drugs, you're bound by pornography, you're bound by unclean habits, you're bound by whatever, you're bound by depression, whatever it is, he's come to proclaim freedom to you. Amen. Amen. Recovery of sight to the blind. I don't always think of physical blindness. I'm talking about people, you know, many a time they think they see. Jesus told the Pharisees, because you say you see, you remain blind. Your blindness remains. But Jesus told the Father one time, Father, I thank you that you have hid these things from those who are naturally wise and prudent. and you have revealed them unto babes. When it comes to the things of God, come as a little child. Come trusting Him. If you don't teach me, I'll never learn. Amen. And God will teach you things beyond that of human mind, which is confined. The peanut brain cannot understand what God can reveal. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Praise God. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. You have the word liberty again. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus came in the year of Jubilee. Or His ministry started in the year of Jubilee because He proclaimed because they lost track of Jubilee already by the time Jesus came. And Jesus says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And what is this acceptable year of the Lord? Dektos in the Greek. In Isaiah, where it's taken from, in the Hebrew, it is Ratzon. Teyer, a Greek scholar, says Dektos means this. Denote that most blessed time when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. A time when the free favors of God profusely abound. Amen. I'm telling you, the favors of God on your life, on your family, will so profusely abound beyond that of every challenge and obstacle you're going to face this year. Amen. It'll be overwhelming. It will sweep you like a tsunami. Amen. The free favors of God. Praise the name of Jesus. A time when these free favors not only abound, but abound profusely. That's the idea of that word. And Jesus proclaimed that year. Amen. You must understand that they were introduced, first of all, in their history to Moses. Moses represents the law who demands and demands and demands. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. And man kept failing all the time, kept failing all the time. Then before Jesus came, God sent a messenger. His name was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came. And John the Baptist was a ministry of baptism unto repentance. His ministry was emphasizing repentance. Repentance is for people who cannot keep the law. People who fail. So now you need the ministry of repentance. No more the law. The law has proven the people guilty. Now the people must say sorry. The people must come to repent. So that's the ministry of John. But again, only a tiny number of people came to be baptized of him. The baptism of repentance. Then Jesus came. And what was Jesus a witness of? God's grace. He came with no demands. He came to freely give. The Spirit of God is on me. I'm so full of the blessings of God, Jesus said. Come, take. If you are blind, take your sight. If you are deaf, take your hearing. If you are bound, take your freedom. If you are brokenhearted, take your healing. Come, come. I'm so full. There's no demands I place on you. I'm not telling you to get this right, to get that right. Take my blessing. You'll be right. You know, come, come. I'm so full. That's the ministry of grace. It's all supply, no demand. Now, I hate sin. I've seen what sin does. And I've seen people in sin, their personalities are so changed, you hardly can recognize them already. Sin is destructive. It brings untold damages, brokenhearted lives, children never growing up to be the same. It's terrible what sin does. But I want to tell you this, I'm more confident in God's grace. Okay? So what I'm about to say right now, you judge for yourself. I'm going to say this right now. When Jesus came, He healed, He set free, He raised the dead. He did everything with no demands. He just gave freely. If you come to Him, you get it. Amen. Never. It seems. Now, here's where I might get into some trouble with some people. All right? But you judge for yourself. If you read the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. It seems as if He's not mocking their sin. It seems as if He's not imputing their sins when He healed them. It's almost like He ignored it. He just gave them the healing. Does Jesus know something that we don't? Maybe if people receive God's goodness, it's the goodness of God that will lead them to repentance. But instead of that, we are so busying ourselves with balancing the grace message. All of a sudden, it's toppled. It's no more balance. There's no balance to grace. Grace is the truth that sets you free. You can't say grace balance with truth. No. The Bible, John 1:17 says grace and truth is on one side. They are one. Law is on one side. And there's no balancing between law and grace and truth. When Jesus came, He came to say, come, take of me. The Spirit of God is on me. The anointing is on me. Touch me and you'll be free. Touch me and you'll be healed. Come to me and you'll be blessed. If you are poor, you'll be enriched. Wow, what a ministry. Have we forgotten the ministry? Are we still, you know, obsessed about repentance? Or are we still obsessed about law? God gave them the law, they failed. God gave them repentance, they failed. Finally, God brought grace. And it was through His Son. Are you listening, people? Is this helping you? Seven is the number of rest. Seven, seven, seven is the year. 5777 is the year of the Israeli calendar this year. 2017 is the Gregorian calendar. 17 number of grace. Amen. We are now in 2017. Something significant is going to happen. Will it be the rapture? I don't know. No one can tell you the date or set the time. The Bible says no one knows the day nor the time. But the Bible does say of the times and seasons. Very general. You need not that I write to you. For you are not children of darkness. You are children of light. So we know that everything about Israel has happened. They have come back as a nation in 1948. Amen. Jerusalem is now back in their hands. Jesus prophesied until the times of Gentiles. All right? Now we see 50 years, 2017. Is there something going to happen this year? Because we'll be out of here before the 7 years of tribulation. Amen. In a world where they call evil good and good evil, I think time is very short. Friend, I want to close with giving you these three keys. This is by no means comprehensive, right? Because I'm just sharing you the vision for the year. I'm going to give you these three keys, all right? It's going to help you, it's going to bless you. All right, these are the three keys you walk in this freedom. Whatever you need, God is proclaiming liberty to you. Amen? And He's giving you these three keys. That's what I'm saying. Every time I'm here, I'm telling you this. It doesn't happen by osmosis. All right? You don't go into a McDonald's and become Big Mac. You don't go into a garage, you become a car. You know, you don't come to New Creation Church and become blessed. You know, there are things that you, to show God that you are willing to. God cannot force salvation into anyone's life. You all know that. All right? You must receive it. Neither can God force jubilee into your circumstance, into your family, unless you receive it. So these are the three keys in helping you to receive. All right? And I'll elaborate on it in this coming year. Key number one. Notice that Jubilee is on the 50th day of atonement. All right? Let's look at Leviticus 23 real fast. All right? It says, you shall do no work on that same day, for it's a day of atonement. We read just now in Leviticus 25 that the sound of Jubilee will sound, bring forth the Jubilee year on the day of atonement, Yom Kippur. The day after the sin offering is offered, Jesus died, literally a picture of Jesus dying, Jubilee is proclaimed. Amen? So the Day of Atonement. Notice the emphasis of God on this day. You say, what can I do then? There's nothing for you to do, but God says this, you shall do no work. First key, don't work. Now, when I say this, I must always tell people, this is not you resign from your job. Again, it's the year of Jubilee, not the year of stupidity. All right? You shall do no work. It's a spiritual sense of you don't have to work to get your family together. You don't have to work for that rebellious child to come home. You don't have to work towards your health. So Pastor Prince, it's dangerous statements. No, listen to what I'm going to say. You are saying this battle is the Lord's. This child, all right, this battle that I have with this teenager is the Lord's. Every time the devil attacks your mind and say, what are you going to do about this? This battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. In other words, don't strive for it. Don't stress over it. Don't be anxious about it. Say, Lord, this is your battle. I have been set free from anxiousness. Jesus said it like this, which of you by being anxious can add to your height? Let's say you are like this. All right? Oh, I'm so worried, God. Enough worry now. Oh, more worry. Then God says, a bit more. Oh, now you're getting taller. So when Jesus said that, I believe there's a smile on people's face. Jesus says, which of you by worrying can add to your height? Can add one cubit to your stature? In other words, you can't change your body by worrying. Actually, you can, but negatively. Amen. So Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. God feeds them. They don't worry. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't strain, they don't strive. Your Father clothes them. But they are temporary. Today they are here. When the sun comes up, they are scorched, they are burned. Yet God cares for the temporary things. Are you not of more value than all of them? So I'm going to preach more on that. We're going to come to the let go life. We'll be strange people in Singapore. The way we respond will be, relax, brother. Let go. Yeah. Cool, man. Cool is the game, man. Tetare, come on. Bring out the coffee. Right, bro? Yeah. Relax. Then they'll say, you're just being irresponsible. The devil say, what are you going to do about this? The battle is the Lord's. If God doesn't do nothing, what can I do? His hand is big, mine is so small. That's your attitude, all right? We'll share more on that. And the emphasis, you shall do no work, all right? Look at this, verse 30. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I'll destroy. Don't worry, okay? This is under law. This was under law. Just to show you how serious God is. God is saying, I got to force you to rest. It's almost like the kind of thing, all right? So you see the spirit of it. And all this on the day of Jubilee, the day of atonement. All right, drop down. You shall do no manner of work. Are you getting the emphasis? You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest. Forget the word solemn. I don't know why New King James put solemn. Solemn is in italics. It's not there in the original. Other version just says Sabbath of rest. It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. I find that very interesting that for us to rest, our souls suffer. Our souls is the part of us that is the mind, the emotions, the will. And it's always saying, I must do something. You say, rest. Canola! It's afflicting your soul. Because you're so used to getting things done. You're so used to, I must resolve this. I must finish this. In fact, your very anxiousness is making the whole things worse. And it's an affliction for many of us. Notice, rest is started with affliction for your soul. After you get used to it, you say, wow, what did I miss? Amen? Jesus' life is a life that's so busy, but you find, look at the person, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see a Savior that is so full of rest. He always has time. His movement is like the rhythm of grace, the cadence of it. He has time for everything. And people are thronging on Him and all that. He has time to turn around, talk to the woman with the issue of blood who was healed. He has time. Even someone is dead, he has time to take a stroll and then raise the person from the dead. It's amazing. The rest, the peace. And He's your Savior, the Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. Amen. A year of rest. So I hope you got the emphasis. How many times has God said, you shall do no work? You work, you die. I think that's an emphasis right there. You shall do no manner of work. So if I don't work, what can I do? You see? So God knows that your nature is you want to do something, right? All right? So your key number one is rest. We'll elaborate in the weeks to come. Key number two, this is what you do. You rest. And then what did they do around the walls of Jericho? Because I told you just now, God told them to go around the walls of Jericho and say nothing. But they had to listen to the ram's horn. Right? The proclamation of the death of Christ. How do you get the ram's horn? The ram is killed. The lamb is killed. And then they take the horn and they blow through that horn. It's a picture of the proclamation of the Lord's death. That is our guarantee of freedom. Amen? Our guarantee of healing. Our guarantee of provision. Our guarantee of protection is in that ram's horn. When you blow it, it's a picture of, it's a visual aid of what? Preaching! Preaching about the cross. Preaching about Jesus. Now you rest. Key number two, listen. Listen to messages about Jesus. Messages of the finished work. Messages of the cross. Amen. Don't listen to messages that people are blowing to trumpets of brass. Judgment. Brass is a picture of judgment. And they're blowing. They're blowing. Though I speak with tongues of men, of angels, and I don't have love, I become as a sounding brass. Why? Everything is judgmental. Everything is judgmental. So the thing is this. Hear the ram's horn. Hear the preaching and the proclamation of liberty. Hear the proclamation of the message of the cross, which is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. Sometimes the power of God takes you out of that difficult situation. Sometimes God allows you to stay, but the wisdom of God causes you to triumph while you are in that situation. And many will see that your God is a wonderful God. Amen. Amen? Amen. So that will happen. Keep on hearing the word. The Bible says like this in Galatians 3. It says, Galatians 3, please. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, God who supplies, and just let you know that in the Greek, the word supplies and works miracles, they are all in the continuous tense. God who keeps on supplying. God who keeps on supplying. God who keeps on supplying the Spirit and God who keeps on working miracles. How many want that this year? Now, does God do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, does God do it because you observe the law, you have it all together, and now you think you deserve it from God? Or does God do it because you keep on hearing the ram's horn? You keep on hearing good messages. You keep on hearing messages about Jesus' finished work. And the more you hear, the more God supplies. The more you hear, the more God works miracles in your life. Amen. There was a man who was lame from his mother's womb, which he called that an impossible situation. It's not a broken bone that he was lame from. All right? He was, Acts 14, please. All right? They were preaching the gospel there. They were sounding the ram's horn. They were proclaiming Jubilee. In the place there. And in Lystra, this is present day in Turkey, Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. That's an impossible case. Amen. He never walked. And who had never walked, but they were preaching the gospel. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul speaking what? The gospel. Not the law, the gospel. Not motivational talk, the gospel. The good news. The good news is the ram's horn being proclaimed. He heard Paul preach, never walked. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." He leaped and walked. Things are going to happen this year as you listen to God's word. There's nothing for you to do but rest and listen. Rest and listen. Rest and listen. And one day, you will leap out of your situation. You will just jump out of that bondage and you'll walk. You'll be normal. Amen. I just want to call your attention to the fact that when this man heard Paul speaking, the hurt in the Greek is a continued imperfect tense, which means he kept on hearing Paul preach. Now, in those days, they don't have MP3. They don't have iNano, iPad, whatever it is. They don't have iPhone. They don't have smartphones. So what do you think he did? And he can't walk. He really went after Paul. When Paul was preaching down here, he said, "Man, can you carry me there? I want to listen again." Right? After Paul finished there, Paul went down there and said, "Can you bring me to that city? I want to hear. I want to hear." He kept on hearing. What excuse do we have? We have iPhones, smartphones, we have Android phones, we have all kinds of phones, we have iPods, we have MP3s, we have all kinds. What excuse do we have? Download the ram's horn and start listening to messages of Jubilee. They will set you free. It's okay to watch your Korean drama, but it will not help you. Why are you losing sleep for that? There's a time to watch and there's a time is a bondage. It's okay to have some sports and entertainment and all that. You know, it's okay. But at the end, you know, those guys are going home to a big fat bank account. You are left with your same problem. What I'm trying to say is that listen to the word. There's something about listening. Oh, I heard this sermon before. Keep on hearing. There might be a word. You might be just be leaping out of your lorry, your car, your MRT. You know, you just, all of a sudden, man, faith arise. How did faith come? For that man who was crippled from his mother's womb, he kept on hearing. He didn't try to look at himself and try to conjure up faith. He kept on hearing. One of these days, I'm going to share with you a testimony. It's a long testimony, so we are trying to break it into parts. A lady in China who got in touch with my ministry, exposed to my ministry. And I tell you this, when I watch her share a testimony, she was working in the factory or something like that, and she got her hand mangled in the machine. And all that was left was just bones and pieces of flesh. The doctors told her if it was a clean cut, they can sew it back. But because it's mangled flesh, they told her she's going to lose her hand. But the first response was that she's been listening to my sermon and she said, no, in Jesus' name, I reject that. And then she said this, keep on hearing Jesus being preached. There's nothing for you to do, she said. Just keep on hearing. I keep on hearing. And I looked at my hand and she was in the hospital. I said that this hand will be healed in Jesus' name. I keep on hearing. And as I hear, my faith grew. I tell you, when I watched this lady, right, share her testimony in Mandarin, all right, I was reading the subtitles, and you know what? She kept on saying, just keep on hearing. I felt like an unbelieving believer. The way her faith was. So we're going to show that testimony perhaps this coming week or in the weeks to come. But it's an amazing testimony. And now she showed her hand. And it's just a beautiful. You can see there's a faint trace of scar. That's it. She has the use of her hand. And I'm here to tell you, church, you can follow the system of the world and be lost and be bound by the system of the world. But God has a plan for you. It's a beautiful plan. And the third key, the third one is this. The Lord gave this to me from the Hebrew word jubilee. The Hebrew word for jubilee is yuvel. Yuvel. All right? Yuvel from Yuval. Yuval is the name of the father of all musicians. He's the great-grandson of Adam and Eve. All right? In Genesis 4, his brother's name was Yuval. In Hebrew, it's called Yuval. Jubal. All right? Where you get jubilee from. All right? It's the etymology of jubilee. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. The third key is found in the meaning of the word jubilee, which naturally means ram's horn, but the root word means a flow, a river. All musicians understand this. This guy is the father of musicians. He plays the harp, all right, and the flute, and it must be a flow. When you write songs, you don't have a flow, you can't write. It's got to be a flow like a river, and you start writing songs. Amen? That's why there's such a thing as music that makes you feel dirty. There's music that makes you feel clean. There's music that makes you sick. And there's music that makes you healthy. All right? There is. Because music is a flow from within the musician. Amen. So, his name is Yuval. His name means flow. All right? Like a river. So, what am I saying? The third key is, this year, you got to learn to really follow the Spirit. Flow. Flow with the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God will tell you, okay, enough. Put down your spoon and your fork. Push aside the plate. Sometimes, all right, he will tell you because he knows you're such a health freak. You never touch sugar. He'll say, put a teaspoon of sugar into this. You say, no! All right, he says, do it. And when you do it, something good happens to you. Amen. You found freedom eating sugar. And sugar is a taboo. Sugar is a no-no. Sugar is a sin. But you know, you follow the Spirit, you're not following laws, dietary laws. I want to say this as a caveat. The Spirit will never tell you to divorce your husband or to divorce your wife. Never tell you to flirt with another woman or another man. He will never tell you to con people or to tell lies because he's the Spirit of God. Do you understand? But in areas whereby you're trying to decide which university to go to, which one, he will tell you. He'll give you a... Sometimes that flow will be not an instant kind of thing. This is the one. No, many a times I find, as I pray for others, I pray that that area that God has for them will grow and grow and grow. And the area that God doesn't want them to go into will shrink and shrink and shrink. It's as if the peace is no more there. And I'll close with this by showing you two verses for you to keep, okay? Now, show them Hebrews 4. We read just now, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. The man or the woman that entered into God's rest, has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So this year, you have one labor, only one labor. Labor not to labor. You have only one work. Work at not working. I'm not referring to your occupation, okay? You lazy fellow. I'm referring to your inward rest. So your achievement is this year, your only assignment before God. God, something inside me is saying, strife, worry about that. Try to do... Lord, the battle is yours. The battle is yours. Maybe you need to some deep breathing to help you to let go. Like expression of faith. Lord, it's yours. And devil will say, you're so irresponsible. You should do something. See, I'm doing something. See? All right? Lord, it's yours. It's yours, Lord. I'm telling you, the devil is trembling in his boots even as I'm preaching this right now. Amen? So your part is to let go. Your only labor is to labor to enter into his rest. And how do we do that? Okay, verse 11 is tied up with verse 12. Because the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick here, Old King James. This is Old King James, all right? The Old King James, my son asked me the other day, Justin, say, Abba, because last week he was quoting entire Psalms 23, remember, on stage? But he was too shy to face you all, so he faced the other side. And he was asking me, can I see your Old King James Bible? 4 year old, he's asking me. So I took out my Old King James Bible, said, this is the Old King James Bible. He looked at it, he looked outside, King James Bible. No, I want the Old King James Bible. He was looking for the word OLD. So the Old King James Bible, which is the King James Bible, the word quick there means not fast, it means living, to quicken, to bring alive, to make alive. Amen? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In those days, the most powerful sword they have, it cuts on both sides. Two-edged. All right? What is more powerful than two-edged? God saw, even back then, God saw laser. Laser cuts everywhere. You touch a laser on the side, you get cut. You touch it from the bottom, you get cut. All right? God saw his word is greater than laser. It cuts everywhere. And then it says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, this is very interesting. Soul and spirit. You are a spirit, you have a soul, your emotions, your mind, your body. The challenge of us Christians in flowing, just not talk about flowing, is that sometimes you ask, is this me or is this God leading me? Is this me? Is a soul. Is this God? Where does God dwell? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In your spirit. Deep down in your spirit. You understand? So, sometimes you're asking, is this me or is this God? Well, if you are listening to the word of God being preached, the word of God has an effect where it separates that which is indivisible, soul and spirit. You will know what is God and you will know what is you. Amen? Not only that, the word of God is piercing even to the joints and marrow. Now, joints and marrow. Many of you go to the restaurant and you ask for the bone because you suck out the marrow. Right? I mean, can you tell where the marrow starts and where the bone starts? You can't. It's so fine. Well, the word of God can separate the joints and the marrow. Wow. Therefore, it has a physical effect. You can say soul and spirit is spiritual, but joints and marrow cannot be. It is physical. So God's spirit, God's word can touch those areas that even doctors say they dare not touch. Because you might end up paralyzed. They dare not touch. There might be complications. Where the word of God can penetrate those areas and separate that which is indivisible. It has an effect on your body as well. And best of all, I find this so true. When I'm reading the word, many a times, after some time, I feel rest. I can't explain it. It's more than after you wake up from your sleep, kind of rest. It's more than just lying down there, rest, or a nap. It's like my body experienced a relaxation. Are you listening, people? Isn't it amazing? So three keys. Rest, listen to the word, and flow with God's spirit, and you experience your jubilee. God wants his people this year to be like his, because he calls you the temple of God. You are the temple of God. In the temple of God, there are three parts. Just like you. Your outer court, the holy place, your soul, and your spirit, the real you, the holy of holies. So, ancient temple, outer court, very busy place. They're killing the animals. The people are coming in. They're praying, voices talking, workers working, serving. And then animals bleating, you know. You hear a lot of noise. Just like your body outside, you're busy. Every day you're busy. Mothers also have mouths to feed. Clothes to change, you know, for little ones and those at work and all that. You're busy, the boss's demands, talking to people and the computer and all that. You're busy, busy. It's okay to be busy. Outer court is busy. But the holy place, it gets quieter. Your soul, your mind. But watch this. In the holy of holies where God dwells, your spirit There is no activity. There is nothing but perfect peace. Shalom. And that's where God dwells. And that is the generator. That is the place from, that's the source of all power. The place from where all your prosperous actions come out from. Amen. God wants you to be a man and a woman like that this year. Amen. Amen. I proclaim liberty. I proclaim jubilee for you and your family this year. Come on, church. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. Friend, if you are here, remember that Jubilee was a day for Israel, but it's actually a visual aid. The substance, the fulfillment of Jubilee is Jesus. Where Jesus is, that's Jubilee. Do you have Jesus in your life? The very first thing you need is forgiveness of sins. And that's the very first thing He came to proclaim freedom to you. Freedom! When the angel Gabriel said to Mary, the child you are to bear, he, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then comes the deliverance, the healing, the provisions. Have you received forgiveness of sins through Jesus? If not, put your trust in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died there on the cross for all your sins. At the precise moment when He died, back at the temple, you can hear it where Jesus died on that Mount Calvary. So near the temple, they could hear the trumpet being sounded because it was the Passover day, and they could hear the trumpet. Precisely when Jesus died at 3 o'clock, the trumpet would sound. But this time it's different. It was a trumpet to end all trumpets. It was a sound of jubilee to end all jubilees. For the final jubilee has come. Your sins are paid. Your debt is canceled. God's favor is all over you if you will but receive. If that is you, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ died on that cross for all my sins. I believe He rose from the dead for my justification. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I fully expect the abundant life that He promised to be manifested from this day forth. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Is He here? He wants to come to stage, so I'm going to let him come to stage. Okay. Is there a mic? Where? There, oh, he says, where is the mic? Okay, hold the mic. Say Happy New Year to the people.
Happy New Year.
You want to say Psalm 23? Okay, say, real quick.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yet do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Well done. Well done, Justin. Amen. Well done. Come. Good boy. Lift your hands towards them. Let's bless them. Okay? This coming year, the Lord bless you and your family. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Father Abraham. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord keep you, you and your loved ones throughout this week from untimely death. The Lord keep you and your loved ones from accidents, dangers, from every new strain of virus that's coming upon the world. The Lord keep you from every sickness and disease. The Lord keep you from all evil and from the powers of darkness. Through His blood, the Lord raised His countenance on every family under the sound of my voice. Throughout this week, the Lord grant to you and your loved ones His wonderful shalom, well-being, health, wholeness, and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Love you all.